You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. You can be a big part, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Got Just PS working hard on the board and the sound and the phones for you folks today. Harvey Kay, our favorite Illinois Democrat, he's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. He's a professor emeritus of democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, and he's a cool cat and a friend of mine. Friend of ours. Mm-hmm. So he's going to join us today as well. Lots of news to get to, but let me start out by just saying this. And I know everyone's like on your edge of your seat. No, I am not wearing pants. I got shorts on today, baby. It's 69.
The shorts and the flip-flops are back.
You knew it when I walked in.
I did. Oh, yeah.
I am not a ninja in my flip-flop, my little block feet, you know, my Barney Rubble feet.
You're not that much of a ninja in the sneakers either.
No, you're right. But it was a beautiful day here in Southeast
gorgeous.
Wisconsin. It was 69 degrees when I was driving down here. I literally had to like stop and like take my pants off, put some shorts on. I just stopped at the side of the road,
takes his pants off.
I stopped at the house. I can't do it when I'm driving, you know, it's too dangerous. So a beautiful day here in Wisconsin. Hope you're able to enjoy some of it. Man, it feels like we're turning the corner on all that. Of course, daylight savings time or whatever mode we're in right now, that the jumping forward an hour thing. You know, all the automatic stuff, you know, goes. My computer, my Apple Watch, and my phone. But I have an older clock, let's put it that way. And it eventually kind of turns. I think it like jumps early. I know it's just weird. I could like work on it and manually do it. But it didn't automatically jump.
So it is connected.
Forward. Somehow,
it's
somewhere,
just,
right. It's just
it
not.
It takes its time.
I don't know. Now, I could look into it, but I'm like, no worries. You know, it's still an hour behind. Mm-hmm. I'll know that in the morning when I'm sleeping. I didn't know.
No.
I woke up like, 5:30. I should probably get up like half hour. Oh my God, it's a gig! Trying to plan, you know, and I knew this. I knew I have a watch on. I'm sleeping with my watch. I just kind of looked at the clock, you know, trying to jam 10 hours into an 8-hour day. That didn't help.
Doesn't always work.
That did not help. So I will vote for anybody who gets rid of this. Please, let's not do this anymore. Mm-hmm. But, so even
Agreed.
Though I knew it was coming and I didn't change the clock and it still got me. So yeah, there's that. Oh, and the studio clock.
Oh, we are talking about it on air. Okay.
The studio clock still says 3:09.
Uh-huh.
It's 4:09.
It's 4:09.
Okay. And I'm going to be okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to work through this, Jess, with your help.
I literally went to the engineers going, he's going to grumble about it the whole show.
I was sitting right next to you. I'm like, I'm right here.
Was I wrong?
You were totally right.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny, but we're good. It's going to be great. Lots of news to get to today. Bernie Sanders, our favorite senator, my favorite. He was in town. Capacity crowds all over the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, man.
That's good stuff. We're going to review that just a little bit. We got some fact-finding, some thumbs up, thumbs down, true or false stories on from the Wisconsin Watch, from the Wisconsin Supreme Court candidates, Brad Schimmel, Susan Crawford. There's been lots of stories. We're going to go through some of that reporting as well. As also mentioned, Harvey Kay going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Well, it's been a few weeks for Harvey, so I know we're going to have a lot to catch up on.
Oh, yeah.
But let's start out where the markets are today, man. I mean, this is the story of the day. Everywhere you turn, every news feed, every notification I've been getting is talking about what a terrible day it was on the markets. And, of course, Looking back over the last several weeks, not great
at all. It's not a great trend.
No, not a great trend. And we're lower now during the Trump presidency than we were before officially. We do have some sound. Donald Trump, and this maybe would be some of the trigger, not really exuding confidence, let's say.
It didn't help.
No, it did not. Maria Bartiromo was asking Trump about the possibilities of recession. Let's play the sound, please, Jess.
Are you expecting a recession this year?
I hate to predict things like that.
Yeah.
There is a period of transition because what we're doing is very big. We're bringing wealth back to America.
Huh?
That's a big thing. And there are always periods of, it takes a little time. It takes a little time. But I think it should be great for us.
It's going to be a little period of transition.
It's going to be great.
You know, I work out, Jess. You know, the old saying.
Yeah, he thinks he's an athlete.
The old saying, no pain, no gain. You know, no pain, no gain. And it seems like that's what he's basically saying, folks. Mm-hmm. And I don't recall him when he ran, when all you megas voted for him because the price of milk and eggs and all that was too high, that this is what you were hoping for. I can't imagine. I mean, were you? Like, when you voted for Trump, you know, a lot of folks are like critical of me and, oh, you don't want Trump to succeed or whatever that means, because, of course, that's subjective. But are you hoping, when you voted for him, were you hoping for a recession? Were you hoping for the market to tank? Was that what you were thinking? Were you thinking, you know, a little period of transition? Well, how long of a period of transition, sir? Is that a week? Is that a month? Is that a quarter? Is that a couple of quarters? What are you talking about? Because, of course, he doesn't know. He doesn't know. He thinks it's going to be great for us. Well, he'll be okay no matter what.
He'll be fine.
He'll be okay.
He's going to be fine. Musk is going to be fine. All the billionaires that he put into his cabinet are going to be fine.
They're going to be fine. And bringing wealth back to America. What does that mean?
Well, it means he's stocked his surroundings with wealth. He's brought wealth back to the people's house.
But as a government, how do you define your wealth as a society, as a government? I literally don't know.
Obviously,
I know
by the top 1%.
How many of them are and how much they have?
Yeah.
It's just strange to me because, again, I'm not sure how we or Donald Trump and his efforts, especially as it pertains to tariffs, is going to somehow make us a wealthy nation. I mean, we have obviously trillions in debt. That's why we're supposed to be going through all this whole thing. But it's not really about the debt. It's about paying for tax breaks for billionaires.
Right, okay. Right.
Just to make sure we're on.
Yeah.
That. Some reporting from the contrarian, Jennifer Rubin, one of our favorites, formerly of the Washington Post. Oh, yeah. Another one out at the Washington Post, Ruth Marcus, will perhaps get there as well. I got to tell you, this journalism isn't doing great. And I love the Washington Post. At least I did.
The Washington Post's journalism isn't doing great.
Not great. And well, specifically because of the ownership and the billionaires that own it. But anyway, we'll get to that. Ruth Marcus out at the Washington Post. Jennifer Rubin out a while back. Now over at the Contrarian Substack. She says this. I think our buddy Tom from LA is going to love it. Trump session. Trump is running the economy into a ditch again. Bear with me. Not too long. She gets to a lot of the points, a lot of the items that I have been thinking about. So, hell, she did the work. Let's share it with all of you folks. You can join us as well, 855-752-4842. Rubin writes, an unprecedented recovery, a jobs boon, a renaissance in domestic manufacturing, and historic gains for black workers may soon be a distant memory. President Joe Biden's success in improving real incomes while fostering 21st century industries and revitalizing American infrastructure was consistently underplayed in the corporate and billionaire-owned media. Soon, those outlets may be pining for the good old days. Though the full impact of president in name only, Pino, I like that, Ruben, Donald Trump's massive layoff of federal workers, erratic and inflationary tariffs, and plans for a huge deficit increase have yet to be felt. The economy is sputtering. We saw merely 151,000 jobs added in February, well below the consensus expectation of 170,000. Unemployment ticked up from 4 to 4.1%. Well, by comparison, Rubin notes, and as a reminder of the robust Biden economy, the December jobs numbers, well, that was revised upward from 307,000 to 323,000 jobs. She goes on, last week was a dreadful one for the markets, with the Dow Jones down 2.4% for the week and the S&P 500 and NASDAQ both down more than 3%. Quote, trade tensions battered markets again Thursday as traders and portfolio managers grappled with fears that policy volatility will weigh on U.S. economic performance, the Wall Street Journal reported. Declines were broad-based, with financial and tech stocks notching some of the largest losses. The dollar weakened, heading for its lowest close since Election Day and its worst four-day stretch since 2022. Rubin writes, more troubling, the growth outlook for the first quarter has plummeted. Reuters warned to be on the lookout for the Trump session. The Trump session coming from Reuters. They explained, the Atlanta Fed's GDP Now model estimates an annualized growth for the current quarter was a stunning minus 2.8% on Monday. That's down from plus 2.3% last week. A 5% swing in a week.
That's not good, right?
A month ago, the model showed that the growth in January through March period, the first quarter, was tracking close to 4%. So if you look at it from a month ago, it's down 6.8%. Now, Rubin writes, that dreary projection echoes the dismal plunge in consumer sentiment, which has dropped precipitously. Consumer sentiment in January slumped the most in 3.5 years. Retail sales dropped by the most in nearly 2 years. Real spending fell at the fastest rate since early 2021. Oof. And retail giant Walmart has warned of a tough year ahead. The through line is evident. Another quote, the huge level of uncertainty being created by U.S. President Donald Trump's agenda, trade protectionism, particularly tariffs, his apparent growing closeness with Russia, and distance from traditional allies like Europe and Doge, is being taken in federal spending and employment. If these trends continue, there is no sign Trump will magically become stable or economically literate. The economic situation may deteriorate further. Now, Rubin goes on, talks about some of the very specific issues that may happen. Tariffs in Nevada, causing people to spend their money on that versus going to Vegas. His onslaught deals another blow to the housing market, off already suffering due to soaring interest rates. Another quote from the Wall Street Journal. Tariffs on Mexican and Canadian imports that come into force this week will make it more expensive to build housing. Around 8% of materials used to construct a new home are imported from outside the U.S., the National Association of Home Builders estimates. This includes everything from Canadian softwood, lumber used for door frames and decking, to refrigerators from Mexico. Moreover, if Trump plows ahead with mass deportations, undocumented labor, which is critical to home building, will be scarce, pushing up prices even higher. And then there's also the fear of stagflation. We're going to get into that a little bit more in Roundup. The piece from Jennifer Rubin at The Contrarian. Market's down today, folks. Not great. Not celebrating. Just saying. S&P down 2.7% today. The Dow down 2.08% today. The NASDAQ down 4% today. The Russell down 2.72%. But the VIX, man, that volatility index up 19.2%. 1%. If you were betting on that today, you made some money. Come back with us. Make some money. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. See you callers and you texters lining up. Be patient, promise. We will get to you. Appreciate you being a part. Just PS working hard on the board and the phones. Also got Harvey K coming at the top of the hour. That will be at 5 o'clock. We're reviewing and going to complete this article in the Contrarian by Jennifer Rubin, pointing out the Trumpflation. No, the Trump session, not Trumpflation, Trump session. As Rubin writes, she's concerned, as many people are pointing out, not just the journalist in this case, about stagflation. As she writes, the potential for stagflation has added to economic anxiety when reduced purchases and layoffs are combined with high prices, growing deficits, declining GDP, and a massive tax cut for the rich. We may be back to tracking the quote-unquote misery index, which is inflation plus unemployment, which defined one of the worst economic crises in recent history.
Oh, goody.
Yeah, right. The business press reflects the rising panic, as Jennifer Rubin notes. CNBC, stagflation fears bubble up as Trump tariffs take effect and the economy slows. Fortune, the stagflation nightmare of the 1970s could rear its ugly head to take a toll on America's wallets and livelihoods. The Wall Street Journal, the two-headed monster stalking the economy has a name, stagflation. Barron's, stagflation is one of Wall Street's biggest nightmares. How to prepare for the worst. Investopedia, Trump's tariffs flip-flop revive stagflation fears. Now even Trump, as Jennifer Rubin writes, Trump won't rule out the potential of recession. We played that sound in the first segment. If other consequences of Trump mismanagement and chaos manufacturing arise, ergo a government shutdown, a default on the U.S. debt, escalation of violence in the Middle East, the damage will be profound. Now, Rubin writes that it's not too late. It's not too late to avoid the worst pain. Trump could permanently rule out tariffs. Congress could significantly scale back the tax cuts and provide a more reasonable budget. Acting President Elon Musk could cease mindless cuts and wholesale layoffs of federal employees, and the administration could drastically scale back mass deportation. But all of that would require Trump and his mega troops' recognition that they are propelling us toward economic collapse. The likelihood that this bunch will engage in some humility or self-reflection, revise course, rely on economic expertise, and reject inane conspiracy theories like the globalists are sinking the stock market, that's close to zero. That ain't happening. Electing an ignorant, narcissist president and spineless supplicants who control Congress has real consequences. Tragically, the ones most affected will be the most vulnerable Americans. Jennifer Rubin writing over at The Contrarian. CNN puts it this way. Dow falls by almost 900 points in market rout after Trump says he won't rule out a recession. And we talked about it before the break. S&P plunged by 2.7%. NASDAQ, everything down, down, down. It's not great. It's just not great. And a side note. Tesla closed down 15.4% today.
Aww.
After the U.S. presidential election in November, shares of Tesla had surged. However, Tesla stock is down almost 45% this year, wiping out its gains since November. You know, and it's a weird thing with the whole Tesla thing, because it's kind of like a hippie. It's battery, right?
Right.
It's better than burning fuels.
It started off as, right, it was those liberals who were getting the Teslas because it was energy efficient and because it was green energy.
Yeah.
How the turntables.
How it goes. How it goes. And so I've had this conversation. I got friends with Tesla. I have Tesla. No. They're like kind of ashamed now. Like, right. But I still.
I've got cousins with them who are like, I don't know what to do now. I bought this years
sticker.
Ago.
Right. I bought it before Elon Musk became president. You know, something along those lines. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Going to get to Bernie Sanders here in a little bit, but we got some callers. Let's get to them. Stephen from Green Bay, you are up next. Welcome, Stephen. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dom. I want to first say congratulations on your new show. I used to call in all the time, and I haven't called in a long time. So
well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, so yeah. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Secondly, who in on this phone call is surprised that Donald Trump is making everything, not just eggs, more expensive? When that was something that he was running on, and I saw people were falling for it hook, line, and sinker, I was afraid that this is what was going to happen, and now everybody has to pay the price for it. And I think it's going to be a long 4 years ahead of us. I don't think it's going to be getting easier. I think it's going to keep getting worse and worse and worse.
Stephen, it's hard to disagree with you there. I'm hope, you know, we can get something out of this, and that being that perhaps it gets so bad, perhaps it gets, you know, people get so concerned of the writing on the wall that there's some pressure on those mega congressmen to change course. We have some sound, perhaps we'll play a little bit later, Stephen. That hey, this doesn't make a lot of sense, at least on the geopolitical scale, and certainly as we've reported and as Ruben reported, the business magazines, you know, concerned about stagflation and the way this is going. That's going to have a real impact on real people, Stephen. And perhaps that will, you know, provide some pressure from their constituents if they, you know, do town halls or answer the phone and clear the voicemail messages.
But that's so hard. The people aren't happy, Dom.
Yeah, of course. And anybody who possibly can, you know, have an issue with any of this, well, they must be. They must be just, you know, total woke ideologues and communists. Folks, speaking of communists, Bernie Sanders, I'm just kidding. I love me some Bernie.
you say it. I think it's a bad thing.
That's right. He's like, gotta stick it to those megas, man. Even know what a communist
is. I know.
It just sounds bad.
Uh-huh.
Senator Bernie Sanders, an independent, of course, he goes along with the Dems quite a bit, was in the state of Wisconsin. Talk about who's doing what and who's saying what. Well, Bernie Sanders, it is advanced age and has the motivation and energy to get out and keep pounding the pavement. Well, he was getting capacity cars, crowds, overcapacity in some cases. We got a little bit of sound of Bernie and some reporting on him on the other side. And don't forget our pal Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin Green Bay, is going to hit us up at the top of the hour. Come back with us, 855-752-4842. To the Dom and Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Just PS working hard on the board. We got Harvey K., Professor Emeritus from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He knows a little something about democracy. He's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. As mentioned, Senator Bernie Sanders, man, out on the road. It's like Willie Nelson and tour, man. You know, these old guys just keep going.
I know
and
it
going. Man, gotta love it. And Bernie, as he tends to do, attracting crowds. A little bit of reporting, Ricardo Torres at the Journal Sentinel Online. Thousands packed the arena at the University of Wisconsin Parkside campus on Friday to listen to Senator Bernie Sanders, an independent from Vermont, deride the influence of multimillionaire and billionaire donors in politics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we do that a little bit around here, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Here's what Bernie had to say. The American people want us to end a corrupt campaign finance system. We are not a democracy when billionaires like Musk and both political parties can buy elections. This was the first stop of two in the state, as Sanders also had a rally scheduled for Altoona High School in the western part of Wisconsin on Saturday. Also,
overflow.
Thousands of people. Yeah, it was great to see that. Appreciate folks. And I saw some friends in the crowd down in at UW Parkside posting. So love it. Love to see our friends and family at these events. So appreciate that. But I think what's important is Bernie has things to say on these topics, and he's been very consistent and very articulate and very clear about his concern that the money hasn't politics. We all have those concerns. Hell, even some Republicans have those concerns. Who do they talk about? The George Soros. I mean, they're always mad when George Soros puts a lot of money in, but they're fine with it on their end. And I would just say, look, I mean, yeah, you got to do it on both sides. You're not going to come to the fight with one arm behind your back.
On neither side.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Publicly financed elections, and you don't get to do those things. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, okay, money's free speech, but you can't yell fire in a crowded theater.
Right.
Can't put billions of dollars on an election. Just saying. We can do those things. We have the ability to elect Congress folks, and they make laws, and then, we do it. Or maybe we change the Constitution. That could happen as well.
We could.
If you care, if you can overcome the many over the money. But what is the point this time? Well, of course, we have an election coming up April 1st. Susan Crawford, let's call her the liberal. And, of course, we have the MAGA candidate, Brad Schimmel. We'll get to that a little bit as well.
You noticed how even doing that, it's one candidate who tends to follow a bit of a more liberal progressive ideology, while the other is firmly dedicated to a specific political movement.
Well, he's the support team, right? Isn't that kind of how he probably put it in front of his
indeed.
Donors?
Donald Trump doesn't do it alone. He needs a support team.
Yes, like a sitting Wisconsin Supreme Court justice.
Right, yeah. Just like that.
Just like that. And of course, that's the same guy who was out, saying he's begging for money so much he had to get new knee pads from Menards! Well, of course, judges aren't supposed to ask for money. Right. No, he didn't do that, he says. Anyway, the story. Uh-huh. That's the guy. Bernie also concerned about the money in this race. And let's face it, folks. I mean, this is probably the biggest race in the country right now. And this
absolutely.
It's going to blow away the last time around with the pro sandwich race with money.
If it hasn't passed it already, it is approaching.
Already, right?
Already.
And we still have 4 weeks. Several weeks. Oh, my God.
Yep.
So Bernie Sanders from Kenosha talks about Musk intervening in this particular race. Just a one cut from Bernie, if you would, please, Jess.
Musk is so arrogant that he is even intervening in a Supreme Court election right here in the state of Wisconsin. Against a candidate who has the very, very extreme idea that maybe women should be able to control their own bodies, not the government. Now, whatever your view may be on this Supreme Court election, I think what everybody, no matter what your position should be, should make it clear to the wealthiest person on earth that he cannot buy an election here in Wisconsin. And I want you to think about what that means. If this guy can intervene in a Supreme Court election in one state, you tell me what mayor's race, what governor's race, what Senate race he cannot buy.
Senator Bernie Sanders at the UW Parkside in Kenosha. Love it. I love it when he puts those. They have this crazy idea that a woman should be able to do what she wants with her body. Yeah. Wow. What a crazy idea. When you put it like that, Bernie, sounds really bad for the Republicans. But not everybody was welcoming the senator. Some of the locals, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Lucas Hamill, a sophomore at UW Parkside, was born and raised in Kenosha County. He said he didn't understand why Sanders would come to Parkside to have an event. I find it almost disrespectful, Hamill said.
Huh?
He's not a senator here. He's not any type of political figure here. Why is he coming to a state that has nothing to do with him? Now, Hamill held up a sign that read, "Thank you, President Trump," outside of the arena with about a dozen other Schimmel supporters before going inside to watch the event. Now, on campus, Hamill said it's difficult for him to have conversations with fellow students about the race. A quote from Hamill, "I'm honestly here because I hated how they slandered Trump."
Huh?
Slandered Trump. "I'm honestly here because I hated how they slandered Trump."
I'm typically pretty bright. I tend to follow things pretty well. I didn't hear any slander, especially the slander involves lying.
"I wish we can go back in time and civilly discuss things instead of swearing at me or getting into an argument where we constantly bicker at each other," said Trump supporter Hamill. Well, I mean, you're specifically saying Trump was slandered, and I don't think that's actually accurate. But whatever, maybe that's one of the problems. We're not coming from a place of similar facts. Republican Rep. Brian Stile, now he represents Wisconsin's first CD, that includes Kenosha County, said in a statement that Sanders was on a fear-mongering tour. A fear-mongering tour. Here's what Style had to say. In Wisconsin, we want secure borders, control of spending, and boys out of girls' sports. Is that our priorities here, dude?
Not mine. Really.
Control of spending. So secure borders. Are you talking about keeping the fibs out? What are you talking about? You know, it's those northern Canadians, you know. Control of spending. Uh-huh. Well, I mean, I would just, you know, look at what you guys did when Trump was in.
Mm-hmm. How about control of spending in the form of using the money that our state legislature has allocated and has been approved?
Well, he's on the federal level. He's got to leave that to the locals, Brian Style. He doesn't worry himself about that.
He doesn't worry about those Wisconsin matters.
He's a congressman.
Oh, okay.
And he said he will continue working to deliver meaningful results for Wisconsin families who are still struggling from the policies that President Biden and Senator Sanders pushed over the last 4 years. Again, Brian Style. In a statement, the Schimmel campaign said, quote, if people of Wisconsin want to know which Supreme Court candidate has their best interest in mind, they need not look further than who is campaigning on their behalf. While Judge Brad Schimmel is endorsed by over 80 Wisconsin sheriffs, Susan Crawford is propped up by dangerous liberals like George Soros, yes, Bernie Sanders and J.B. Pritzker. And it's kind of ironic that, not ironic, perhaps certainly purposeful, that Brian Style, the Schimmel campaign, even the local cat sophomore at school who's a Trump supporter, Lucas Hamill, didn't address the money in politics. No comments about the money in politics. That is the point. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have anything to say, at least in the reporting here, about the money in politics. So, Lucas, are you fine with that, man? You fine with J.B. Pritzker and George Soros funneling millions of dollars to Susan Crawford's campaign? Is it any better or worse than, I don't know, Elon Musk giving hundreds of million dollars to Donald Trump? Or any of the varied right-wing organizations that are certainly contributing to Brad Schimmel? It's about the money and the politics, man. We're not even talking about what the policies should be. How about you know, read the room? That's what we're talking about. And for you guys to be all about this other, all these other three things, secure. It's not about secure borders, man, or boys and women's sports, or women and men's sports, or boys and boys sports, and girls and girls and boys and girls, bathroom sports. You know, give me a break. We're talking about money in politics and the undue, some would say unconstitutional influence that it has in our election cycle, and certainly the negative impact it has on our democracy. That is what he's talking about. So if you think, Congressman Style, that this is a fear-mongering tour, yeah, well, maybe it is. Maybe you should be afraid when billionaires can buy the presidency, when billionaires can buy elections. I think that's a little scary. And
I think so.
We, the people, should do something about it. Notice we're not even talking about what the policies should be. We're just saying, hey, how about let's get the money out of the politics? Can we agree on that? Lucas? Schimmel campaign?
Can we agree on that? Mark from Sussex texting in, asking again about Harris's campaign and how much money she spent in her short campaign. Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
let's get the money out.
Right. Let's do that. I'm down, Mark from Sussex. 855-752-4842. Let's get some callers in before we run out of time. This segment, Luann Bird, you are up. Welcome, Luann. Nice to hear from you again. What do you got for us?
You bet. Hello, friends. I can't. You're talking about money in politics, but it is not apples to apples when you're talking about George Soros giving money to the Democrats, because Elon Musk is cutting governments, firing people left and right, lining his own pockets, and then funding the Republicans. It's not the same. It is totally not the same. And it is unacceptable, and we can't let Elon Musk come in here and continue to cut our important federal workers in this state and then turn around and fund a Supreme Court race. Do you see what I'm saying here? It's two different. It's not even.
Well, I mean, I certainly, Luann, I would say it's worse. You know, the Musk situation is worse than the Soros. But okay, fair enough. But the money and the politics is still the issue, right? I mean, isn't that, are you concerned?
No,
let me ask you, do you think that the money in politics is the driving factor in what we have, the problems that we have in this country? I do. What do you think it is?
Yeah, I do, because they had to spend $2.5 million on my race. That's just outrageous, and I can think of tons of other things to do with that money.
Right.
So, but if you're talking about George Soros being the same as Elon Musk, what's egregious is the pain that Musk is causing us. The veterans issues getting cut. The federal workers, what is it today? That scientists getting cut.
Yeah, that's from NASA. NASA doesn't need scientists. Well, Luann, let's put this out there too, because I want to make sure we don't put it on Musk. Musk is an unelected bureaucrat who has no power to hire or fire, according to Donald Trump, right? So this is literally Donald Trump's action. Now, Musk might be identifying the waste, fraud, and abuse, quote unquote, but this is all Donald Trump, Republican. This is all those congressmen, Stile and Fitzgerald and Tom Tiffany, that go along with this. You know, Musk, the thing about Musk and this whole issue is he's up there. He's taking the arrows. He's the richest man in the world. He doesn't give a damn. So what? So we can't, I don't think, Luann, we should be putting it all on Elon Musk. He might be the messenger. He might be the enforcer in this. But he is there because of Donald Trump. He is there because of the Republican megas in Congress. Now, those folks we can kick out of office. Trump can eventually, if you don't believe a third term, Luann, he'll eventually go away. Elon Musk, man, he's a billionaire, you know, running the government. And so he's there to take the heat, and we got to give the heat to all the rest of the Republicans. Luann, you got 30 seconds. What do you got for us?
That's true, but what I'm saying is you can't compare. Elon Musk is spending his own money. The other Republicans are totally responsible for what he's doing. But it's his dollars we're talking about. We're talking about money and politics here. Money and politics. Elon Musk is spending billions, and then he's getting tax breaks from the work he's doing in Washington.
Yeah.
Soros is not doing that. There's
yes.
a difference.
There's definitely a difference in degree, although
investment versus a donation.
Rich people giving money and having overdue influence in our elections, it happens on all sides. I would hope we can all agree that maybe we should curtail that just a little bit. Come back with us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Happy Monday to us all. It is beautiful here in Wisconsin today. Hope you got a chance to get outside. The sun's out a little bit longer today, and it was 69 degrees on the way down.
Nice.
Here, man. Nice. Beautiful, beautiful day. So I hope you all enjoy it. Drive safe out there and stick around. We have Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, joining me in the 5 o'clock hour. 5 o'clock hour.
5 o'clock
five
hour.
5 o'clock hour.
Don't listen to the clock. Listen to me.
Right. Kind of feel like Anchorman, you know? Don't put it on the readout, man. He'll read anything he sees. 855-752-4842. There is some specific news I want to get into. I'm not going to have a whole lot of time in this hour, but the arrest of this Palestinian activist, Mahmoud Khalil, ordered specifically by Donald Trump. Here we go, folks. Remember, there used to be some, I don't know, what do you call that, where you actually had a chance to get yourself a lawyer and go to court. Oh, a due process.
Due process.
Oh, that's right. That's what
right.
that was. Okay.
That old-fashioned ideal.
You know, evidence of crime. No, apparently the evidence of crime is Donald Trump thinking this guy needs to get arrested. So we're going to address that in the next hour, perhaps with Harvey Kay. Lots of other topics there as well. But we're talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race and the money and the efforts and so forth. Well, there's been lots and lots of ads out there. And I want to kind of go through some of the claims as articulated by our friends over at Wisconsin Watch, Tom Kircher, reporting claims on the Supreme Court candidates and the facts And also, folks, the only scheduled debate between Susan Crawford and Brand Shibble is set for Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday.
A one-hour debate.
Oh, God. Have you ever heard Brad Schimmel? I mean, if you haven't,
yes.
It is.
Well, I mean, I have cut plenty of sound.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, like on a debate, like in these kinds of in exchanges.
You know what? I haven't.
Yeah, so it. I'm fully expecting Susan's going to mop the floor of the butt. We'll wait and see.
We'll see what... See what I'm cutting on Thursday.
So kind of the fact checking, as it were, from Wisconsin watching our pal Tom over there. Some of the things that have been said. Number one, did Schimmel say he had no objection to January 6th pardons issued by Donald Trump? Survey says no. Schimmel has said he supports the presidential use of pardons, but that the rioters who were violent at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th should not have been pardoned. Crawford claimed that Schimmel had no objection to Trump's quote-unquote blanket pardons. All right, so maybe I guess he had a little objection, but what did you do about it? Nothing. You still support the guy. You know, it used to be the Republicans, the party of law and order, and now it's the MAGAs, the party of
assault, battery, and corruption.
All right, what else we got? Has another one from the Wisconsin Watch. Has Crawford supported stopping deportations and protecting sanctuary cities? Question mark?
No.
No! As Wisconsin Watch writes, there's no readily available evidence to back a Republican attack ad that claimed Crawford has supported stopping deportations of illegal immigrants or protecting sanctuary cities, which limit how much they help authorities with deportations. Another one here from Wisconsin Watch. Did Crawford sentence a child sex offender to 4 years in prison after prosecutor requested 10 years? Yes. In 2020, Crawford sentenced a Dane County man to 4 years in prison and 6 years probation after prosecutor requested 10 years in prison and 5 years probation. The defense had requested only probation. The man was charged with touching a six-year-old's privates in a club swimming pool in 2010 and twice touching a seven-year-old girl's privates in the same pool one day in 2018. Crawford said the crimes occurring years apart made the man a repeat offender, requiring prison, but were less serious than other sexual assaults, and that 10 years was longer than needed for rehabilitation. Has Schimmel supported Wisconsin's 1849 abortion law?
Yeah.
Yeah. Schimmel has campaigned supporting the law, which bans abortion except to protect the mother's life, asking, what is flawed about it? What's flawed?
What's flawed?
What's flawed?
No exceptions for rape or incest.
No flaw there. Perfect. And he recalled in 2012 supporting an argument to maintain the law to make abortion illegal if Roe v. Wade were overturned. Schimmel also said Wisconsin residents should decide, quote, by referendum or through their elected legislature on what they want the law to say. What they want the law. I mean, hope people got the right to do with their body what they want, regardless of what you think.
Mm.
You know, like an inherent. Unalienable right, for example.
Goodness, that sounds radical, Dom.
I know, it's so crazy. What else we got here? Was a sexual assault convict freed after Crawford's office failed to file an appeal? Yes. In 2001, while Crawford led the State Justice Department Appeals Unit, a lawyer in the unit failed to meet court deadline, resulting in a sex offender being freed 2 years into his seven-year prison sentence. Did Schimmel try to repeal the ACA? Yes.
Yeah.
In 2018, Schimmel helped lead a failed 20-state lawsuit that sought to have the Obamacare rule ruled unconstitutional. Did Schimmel offer a plea deal to a man whose attorney contributed to Schimmel's campaign?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. As Waukesha County's DA, Schimmel offered a plea deal to a man charged with possession of child pornography. In the year before Schimmel won the state attorney general's election in 2014, the man's lawyer made monthly contributions to Schimmel's campaign, totaling $5,500. In exchange for the man pleading guilty to the charge in 2015, Schimmel agreed not to file more charges and recommended the mandatory minimum, a three-year prison sentence, which was imposed. There's a couple more here. Did Wisconsin taxpayers pay $1.6 million over an abortion restriction law that was ruled unconstitutional? Yes! Legal fees totaling the $1.6 million were paid to Planned Parenthood and others who sued over 2013 Wisconsin law that was ruled unconstitutional restriction on abortion access. Schimmel was responsible for some of the costs. He became state attorney general in 2015 and pursued appeals of the ruling. Hey, other people's money, right, Schimmel? Remember, he made those coins, K-A-E-D, kicking ass every day. Come back with us, kicking ass on Mondays, 855-752-4842. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin at Green Bay, joins us next.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.